When was the last time you ate dinner together as a family? When's the last time you went on vacation together as a family? We're going to talk today about together, spending time together.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm Ruthie J, your host, and today we're going to be wrapping up this long list of 30 imperatives to parenting. If you missed any of them, you can hear them again at parentingonpurpose.org. But today we're going to tackle the last two and talking about togetherness, eating together, vacations together. Together can sometimes be chaotic.
Together can be chaotic.
Was it that chaotic in your house?
Well, it wasn't because we intended to do it.
Okay.
We figured that for us was more important than so many other things. But I was gratified to see a University of Miami and NIH and Harvard study that came out on people that eat, families that eat four more meals together, their children get higher grades. Hmm. They went through this amazing, less sexually active, all these things. There's a huge list, especially the NIH research project. But what that is it's group therapy. What that is I'm valuable to you. What that is this is worth it. And it's families that decide to actually sit at a table with the television off. Here at Sheridan House, at each of the five children's homes, the families eat together. It's the thing. They get up, they have breakfast at a table in the morning, and then they have dinner at a table. All of them. 10 kids, a set of house parents, and a behavioral specialist. Not for the breakfast. The behavioral specialist is not there, but for the dinner that night. And they sit at a table, they talk.
It's a big table.
It's a huge table. And they spend time together, but the kids learn how to actually talk. The kids learn how to not cut each other off, and the kids learn how to listen to somebody else talk, and there's no television at the table, and they're just spending time together. I think today's child is so desperate to belong to something and never spend any time together with the people that are the most important in their lives or should be, the people that care about the most about their future or should, and that's parents and the rest of the family. Mm-hmm. In the whatever the old days are, in the old days, you came in from the farm or you came in from the family store, and you sat down there together and you did something bizarre. You ate dinner at the same table and you watched things get put on the table and you watched the group therapy take place, mm-hmm. and you see them in the movies and It's a Wonderful Life and them actually sitting there. And I think we believe we can't do that anymore.
I think sometimes we have to go out to do that.
I think we believe we can't do it at home, which is amazing because it's so much less expensive. But even one night a week when we had both our kids up at school, and we would make Boston Market our dinner table, and we sat at the dinner table at Boston Market, and when we couldn't do it the rest of the nights, we did it at home. Mm-hmm. It was just very, 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 very important to us, and television was removed. Mm-hmm. Same thing with taking vacations together. We didn't bring friends. Did our kids ask, can I bring? No, you can't bring friends. We're your friends. And then we got there together and we're on those vacations and we spent time together with no television. We actually played games on vacation. With mom and dad and jigsaw puzzles, which they complained about every year until we got into them, and they got very competitive putting all these puzzles together, 200-piece puzzles. And we just decided, let's learn how to be together. And I think in a non-performing environment, most parents don't know how to do that. How do you actually just sit and be together?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are our kids going to learn how to do that when they're married? Mm-hmm. How are they going to learn how to do that when they're dating? What do we have to be doing to be together when we're dating? Mm-hmm. I don't even want to go down that list. and yet, they've never seen it done. They've never seen their parents sit with them. Mm-hmm. It's very, very important to ask yourselves, when are we together as a family with no outside influence? Mm-hmm. When do we give them a couple of vacations a week or one vacation a day at the dinner table where we shut life down? How does that look? How do we make that happen where everybody is valuable at a table, even mm-hmm. when there's bickering, and teach them how to get there? And it's interesting because I believe some people think it can't be done, and yet a new child comes to Sheridan House, and it's amazing to me how many children that come to live in one of our children's homes have never sat at a table for a meal with other people. Yeah, they just grab a snack and go sit in front of the television mm-hmm. and put it on the coffee table or whatever and sit there and watch and watch and watch and watch. Mm-hmm. And yet we have to teach them and watch them get there and watch them love it and watch it be fun and watch us even keep them at the table by playing these funny games around the table. Car. Everybody start with the letter A and let's go around the table. Mm-hmm. You have A for Audi and you have B for Buick and just keep working our way around the table. Where they actually, we trick them, I guess, learn how to be at that table by playing these games and slowly learn how to talk again.
Mm-hmm. And I remember growing up and also eating breakfast together a lot because Dad was out a lot at night doing the pastor job. job thing. And so we had breakfast for many years, and then schedules shifted around and we had to switch it up to dinner. So it's not necessarily when you do it, breakfast or dinner. It's just doing it together.
It's finding time together. It's just finding that together is the key word here. And in my world, it was very, very similar. We did breakfast together, except for one morning a week when I had to be out. And we did dinner together, even though I had to go out most nights. I would actually go pick up my kids from school in carpool. I'd be the only man in carpool, and I'd have to deal with that, the macho-ness in me. Yes.
Oh, yes.
My friends would actually call and say, Barnes, are you in carpool with my wife right now? My wife just said you're... I know. I admitted that. And then I'd go back out. I mean, you know, get home at 3, stay home till 6, and go back out and do the meetings I needed to do. But dinner was important, and we decided to be there and to sit there and to talk with each other and just process what's okay to say at dinner. You know, if you didn't like the meal, mom made the meal, eat some of everything, and all you have to do, you have to say, Mom, thank you for the meal. You don't have to say that was wonderful or awesome. If you do, that's great. But Mom, thank you for the meal because she made the meal. We wanted to teach them how to be together as a family, so we had to choose to be together as a family. You know, part of that, we've talked about this before, was also game night. One night a week, family night, we're all there, we're playing a game.
And something about food also does something to teach etiquette, to teach verbal communication skills. I mean, so much happens even around the dinner table that I read some kind of study recently where they said, if you have to choose a place in the house where to argue, the best place is in the kitchen or at the table, where it's outside of the bedrooms. It's not in the family room where you're distracted, but it's a safe environment too. Why? Because it's something about food that sort of disarms people. I don't know.
Well, you're sitting across the table. You're not toe-to-toe, number one. You have an alternative reason to be there rather than storm away from each other. You're eating food while you're disagreeing.
You have something to do.
You have something to do. And there's another thing about sitting in a chair versus standing up having an argument.
Yeah.
Sitting in a chair is a little more calming. It's a less aggressive. All those, you know, come up with all those psychological things you want. But there is just something about eating and being at a table together that slowly teaches people how to be together. Here's the problem. Your children will never get up and say, I so love that we eat dinners together. I so love that we go on vacations together. They will never, ever, 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 ever do that. So we've got to each decide in our heads whether they say they like it or not, we know they need it. Whether we say we like it or not, we know they need it. And they need to be with us. We need to be in this time, and let's utilize the dinner time to sit down together. Your kids should not be given the power of applause for what you do. We do this because my kids love it. No, that should not. You know, if I did that with my 2.5-year-old grandson, he'd eat cookies all day, every day, and that's all he'd eat. We need to do these things because we know we should do them. I think I've given this illustration before, but when I think I was 12 and my brother Stephen was 8, and we took a trip. We were in Washington, D.C., and we took a trip to Colorado to Grandma's house. And then 40 years later, my brother and I are having dinner with my dad. My dad was back in the States, and he was here in South Florida, and we went out to eat. And my brother started talking about the great trip to Colorado, and my dad's looking across the table, and I'm talking about all the things we did, and it was absolutely amazing trip. Stayed in a hotel. The hotel had a pool. I mean, it was just, remember that, Steve? And on and on and on and on. And finally, my dad says, great trip to Colorado. I can't even believe you're calling it a great trip to Colorado. That was a nightmare trip to Colorado. And he went on and on about how much we complained and how much I want to be on a bus, send me home to my friends. And Steven, you know, was picking on, Steven said, Bobby's picking on me. And he's sitting on my side of the center of the back seat and on and on and on. And my dad said, I can't even believe you're calling it the great trip to Colorado. That was the nightmare trip to Colorado. Sometimes, and then he said this, notice we never did it again, drove from Washington to Colorado. And I think sometimes we give our children too much power in the decision-making by what they applaud and what they cheer for. They're kids. We know they need that experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I took my children for 2 months. I took a sabbatical. Everybody can't do this. And we drove 12,200 miles around North America.
Goodness.
That's halfway around the equator. It's 24,000 miles around the equator. We just did a little over that in our Chevy Astro van, driving all around, seeing all these things, crossing up and down north and south across North America, seeing things. We didn't get out of the car. When we got out of the car, I was weeping that the trip was done. It was the coolest thing I've ever done in my life with my family. Mm. Neither of my kids got out of the car and said, Dad, that was awesome. You know, just like I didn't get out of the car with my dad from Colorado, I didn't say as we're unpacking the car, Dad, can I talk to you for a minute? Mm-hmm. That's the greatest thing we've ever done. It widened my geographical horizons, changed my whole social perspective on life. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that. We don't do that. We're kids. Mm-hmm. But we know there are things we need to do with our kids, not only to give them the experiences, and you talked about one that's very important, about how to eat and sit at a table, but also to get the family closer together. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we did with our kids was taught them how to use a napkin. One of the things we did with our kids was taught them how to use a knife and fork.
And which ones, if there are multiple
where
ones.
Where they go, and, so know? That when they go to visit somebody and somebody goes, wow, someone's taught you manners. One of the things we do with the children here at Sheridan House, those kids in the children's home, especially in the boys' home, they all stand and wait for mom to be seated at the table.
Wow.
Before they are seated at the table. We're teaching a respect mm-hmm. for mom. Mom's not your servant, boys. So wait till she's sitting for that. We're breaking a mold or a thought process in the lives of these boys so that they are marriageable. And so when they go to somebody's house later on for a little girl they're in high school that they're dating, they know how to do this mm-hmm. Where the mom goes, wow, haven't seen that done in a long time. Mm-hmm. There's so much to happen when we do things together, and there's so much to happen at the dinner table, at the family fun time, and at the family vacations together. Mm-hmm. Learning how to be together, not only to teach, but to grow emotionally together.
Yeah, because when you are together, it's not like all the moments are happy either.
I mean, no, they're not.
We took tons of road trips growing up with my dad, and it was like every year we had a different car. And for whatever reason, I just remember almost every vacation, the car had some kind of issue. How many streets have we been stranded on? I don't know many, but all I remember was that we had fun and dad somehow got us out from the situation, fixed something, got a tow truck, something happened, but we just remember always kind of getting through that. And those are my memories of these family trips. I mean, plus all the amazing places that he took us to. But just being in the car together and all the jokes we have. So we still have family jokes that nobody would ever understand unless you were in that car and you were a child like us, realizing how funny a silly thing can be. And that's where family moments
shine. Yeah, but those are
shine.
What you've done is, you know, Frances Schaeffer's wife, Edith, wrote a book called Tapestry. And she has a chapter in her book on what makes a family. And she said, a family is like a metal hanger that has lots of collages hanging off of it, lots of little strings with events in their life. Far too many families are just the hanger. And street after street after street of hanger, 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 hanger. So it really doesn't matter whose house you walk into at the end of the day as a 14-year-old. Doing the same thing. Grab something out of the refrigerator, sit in front of the television set, do your homework, go to bed. Nothing that makes you different. You want to be a family with all these little, just like you told, family jokes, family laughing in the car, all these different things that makes you special, that makes you who you are. Mm-hmm. Is your life, is your Thanksgiving, your Christmas the same as everybody else's on planet Earth? Then you're not different. Mm-hmm. You're building moments. You're building things that make you different at the dinner table, on vacations, mm-hmm. together. Together, this is who we are.
And these aren't necessarily things that you actually plan.
No.
Like you just plan to have time together and stuff happens. And that's where the memories come out of. So I'm a planner and I love to have fun and all that. But I realize the best times were the times where I just said, we're going to do this. And then it happened and amazing memories happened.
I agree. And I think I'm a planner too. And I think it's okay to plan, but I think I can get more into my plans than being together. And as I've got these plans, if this is what we're going to do tonight, you know, the time we carved pumpkins together, and carved a face in the pumpkin, and it started a tradition of putting the pumpkin inner gook all over everybody, where we had a pumpkin carving contest, and we quickly realized in the years to come, this has very little to do with carving the pumpkin. We need to do them outside in the backyard on a folding table, but the gook's going everywhere, and our kids telling that story to everybody. Mm-hmm. My dad went mm-hmm. crazy, and we got him down, and we had pumpkin gook all over him. And, you know, there was no way they could get me down unless I let them get me down, and then it became a hilarious time. Spending time together. Do your kids have to go someplace else to feel together with anybody? Do they have to get into the cyber world for this pseudo feel together? Or is there this cushion called family, the shock absorber of life called family, where they come home, they eat dinner at a table together, go on vacation together, go places together, go down to the beach on a Saturday morning with a whole bunch of fun, ridiculous things to eat, looking at the ocean together? Who are we? Are we a bunch of separate entities living in the same building? Or together, are we building traditions that, like you said, Ruthie, no one would ever understand? But we understand it because that's what we did. Those are the funny things we did when we were together.
You've been listening to Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries on Parenting on Purpose. I'm Ruthie J., your host, as we wrap up this list of 30 imperatives to parenting. If you missed any of the programs, you can hear them all over again at parentingonpurpose.org. Even do a search Sometimes we have week-long series on just one of these points. Again, that's at parentingonpurpose.org. And if you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, the Boys and Girls Home, the Counseling Center, even the many resources that Dr. Bob and his wife Rosemary have put together to help you in your marriage, even your parenting journey, all the proceeds go to help the children's homes, and you can find them there at shfm.org. You can even find Parenting on Purpose curriculum to do with your small group and in your church. Again, that's at shfm.org. We hope you'll join us next time for another series, another topic here on Parenting on Purpose.